In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us. Probably all of us, at some point or another, on a daily basis, maybe a few times in the week, look at the news. We go to news sites online, we read, we watch videos, we probably will perhaps watch cable news, whatever stations they may be, or we turn the radio on and we listen to all these various talk shows. And if your experience is what mine is, you end up finding or seeing a very bleak and tragic and dark world. We're bombarded by a whole host of words and images and sounds that conjure up nothing but, or depict nothing but, constant bickering, hostility, antagonism, insults, fighting, hate. Nobody talks to one another. Everybody's shouting at one another. They're talking at one another. Even these talk shows, these quote-unquote talk shows, pundits. And I know in conversations with people and in my own life, when I tend to listen to the news, it leaves me with a sense of hopelessness. A sense of hopelessness about our culture. A sense of hopelessness about the world. Hopelessness about the church. Yes, all these sites and church news sites are just as bad as everybody else. Leaves us a sense of hopelessness about our country and our society. And I'd go so far to call these people out in the media, both in the Catholic world or the religious world, the spiritual world, and in the secular world, that they are perpetuating a real evil. Yes, they are perpetuating and inciting a real serious evil in our society. Why? Because this constant barrage of bad news and just pointing out the bad things and getting people all riled up is doing what? It's taking away from people a sense of hope. Take a man or woman's hope away from them, and that person becomes paralyzed. Take a person's hope away. Take a culture's hope away. And you come, and that person or that culture becomes terribly, terribly sick. If you doubt that, then why have suicides been skyrocketing in our country for the last few decades? Why are drugs going up, the increase of drugs, men using drugs, fentanyl, and they're killing themselves? Or go look at the studies, go look at the statistics, the actual data, the facts, that since 2009 at least, this is all, I just went back to 2009, from 2009 until this very day, okay, more people are on antidepressants than ever in the history of this country, and in particular women. More women now are on antidepressants than ever in the history of this country. 20% of the women of our nation are on antidepressants. It's grown 13% since 2009. Is that not a sign of sickness in our culture? That something's really, really deathly wrong? The sign of hopelessness. We are the most medicated country and people in the history of the world. This nation, in particular. That should be alarming, considering it's the United States of America, where we have an historically unprecedented access to wealth, comfort, convenience, and luxury, and yet we are a country on antidepressants and all kinds of other drugs, and it's doing nothing but skyrocketing every year, going up higher and higher. take away a person's hope. Not only do they get sick, terribly sick, psychologically and emotionally, people will die. People will die, and not by suicide. Take away a person's hope, and they will give up living life. Not by taking a gun to their head or overdosing on drugs. They just give up living life. And you can go back and read Dr. Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, and he identifies this. How many countless people in the concentration camps at a certain point just gave up hope. And he could predict within 12 to 24 hours that person just simply fell asleep and never woke up again. What's wrong? What's the problem? What's the root cause of the tragic events we are constantly hearing about and being berated with in the news, from wars and the economic destruction, economic collapse, shootings galore, violence everywhere, hostilities going on everywhere, antagonisms and people shouting and fighting? What is wrong with our culture? What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the country? A people and a culture without hope is a people and a culture without purpose, without meaning in life. And the answer to this malaise, this answer to this tragedy, the solution, it's not new. The answer's not new. The antidote is not complex. Today's, in fact, today's gospel and epistle lessons give the answer. The answer's been ringing out for 2,000 years. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if we heed those words of our Lord God, Savior Jesus Christ, guess what? Every anxiety, every fear, and every worry will disappear. They will disappear. So important is this teaching that the baptized person, hear me carefully, the baptized person, you and me, have the moral obligation not to be anxious, not to worry. Why? Because an anxious person brings what? Into any household, into any parish, into any workplace, into one's friend, circle of friends, what? An anxious person brings division, brings hostility, brings irritation. When a person is angry, what happens? That person brings into their relationships discord. Discord in one's parish, discord in one's family life, discord in one's workplace, discord in one's circle of friends, wherever you may be. An anxious person is an angry person, is a hyper person, and that does not bring peace. As icons of Christ, though, we are to be bringing not anxiety to people and into relationships. We have the obligation as icons of Christ to be bringing peace into all relationships. Jesus the Christ brought peace. He brought concord. He brought order. He brought true love. And an anxious person brings all the opposite into a relationship. And that's why you and I who are baptized, becoming icons of Christ, have the moral obligation to eradicate in our hearts all anxieties. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave the teaching on how to deal with anxieties. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because who doesn't do that? He tells us. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Because who's concerned about those? The Gentiles, the pagans, the people who do not believe and are not seeking first the kingdom of God. Give priority to God before anything and everything else. Seek God's commandments. Seek His way. Seek His way in a daily prayer life, morning and evening. Seek Him through the liturgical life of the church on Friday evenings and on Sunday mornings. Why is our culture and this world filled with such anxieties and turmoils and uneasy tensions? Always talking about war and bombs and everybody ready to bomb everybody else. Invade people, conquer countries. Why? Because our world's not seeking God first. Our culture is not seeking God first. God doesn't take a priority in our culture. If you have tension in your home, if you're anxious in your home, if you're an anxious person, it's because somehow God is really not first in your life. He is not the priority. In some way, you're really not seeking first the kingdom of God. And St. Paul elaborates on those who seek the kingdom of God in today's epistle. Unfortunately, the English translation of St. Paul's letter is grossly, grossly misleading. Now, the English, we heard this, quote, "We have been justified by faith." It's probably very familiar to us. And it's a wrong, bad translation. It should properly read, "We have been made righteous by faithfulness." Not faith, but faithfulness. What's the difference? Faith is an intellectual assent. So we run around thinking, oh, if I'm not going to be saved, or if I'm having trouble in my relationship with Christ, somehow it's because I don't have enough intellectual faith. I haven't made a greater commitment to God in my mind and brain. And my brothers and sisters, that is not how you grow in faith. That is not how you grow in your relationship with Christ. That's been the erroneous thinking for too many people for the last 500 years. Because somewhere between the 1400s and the 1500s, the word fides or pisteos, Greek or Latin, as it went into the vernaculars, started being translated as faith. But that's not what St. Paul or the first 1400 years of any apostolic church ever understood this word to mean. Pisteos or fides is not faith as an intellectual assent. It's actually translated really to mean faithfulness. What's faithfulness? Action. It's not thinking. It's action in obedience. Abraham is declared blessed, not because he had an intellectual assent to Almighty God, and therefore he's blessed. No. What did Abraham do? God spoke, and Abraham was faithful to what God said, and that is why he's the father of faith. It isn't because he believed in the one God up in his head. God said, get up and go, and he went. God says, circumcise your son, and he did it. God spoke, and he acted on the will of God. It is faithfulness. And when we are faithful, when we act according to God's commandments, when we obey God's commandments, what happens? St. Paul tells us, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus the Christ. There it is. If a person is seeking peace, to be not anxious, then obey God's commandments. The person who obeys God's commandments will not experience anxiety and fear. The person who obeys God's commandments will not experience a disorder, turmoil, and chaos. Our culture is disintegrating. It's in total, complete upheaval at this point. Why? Because it's rejected everything that God's taught. It's completely rejected His commandments. It doesn't seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. When was the last time you heard anybody say that in our culture? St. Paul then continues, by faithfulness we have access to the gift of, he says, grace, but the word is divine life. Once again, it's not by believing harder in the mind, but it's in one's actions that you and I have access to the gift of divine life. I don't run around thinking, well, I just don't believe enough, and that's why I'm not where I'm supposed to be in my life. No. If you're not where you're supposed to be in your life, it's because you've lacked faithfulness. You're not obeying God and His great commandments. And when you're brought into this access, when you have this access, that English is terrible. What does it even mean? Misses everything. The Greek word is prosogegi. And that has two meanings in Greek, and they're very important if you really want to understand St. Paul. First, prosogegi means to usher, to move somebody into the presence of royalty. Well, God is the royalty of all the royalties. So Christ ushers someone into the presence of God. If you're faithfully obedient, Abraham was faithfully obedient, therefore he was ushered before God. What's the liturgy? We are ushered before God when we are faithful. That's why you receive the Eucharist, because you've been faithful to God's commandments. When you're not, you can't be ushered into the presence of God to receive the Eucharist. The second meaning of prosogegi is this. It also refers to a harbor or a haven where ships would dock in order to be safe from the tempest and the wild, the chaotic sea. Once again, St. Paul is giving us a teaching. Those who obey God faithfully, obey His commandments, the Lord is going to bring you to a safe harbor. Which means we're not obeying God's commandments. We're on the sea being tossed here and there and everywhere. And that's what's happening in our world. And that's what's happening in our society and culture. It is being tossed everywhere and every which way. Doing and calling for the most perverse things I think that ever humanity could ever think of at this point. Why? Because we've rejected God's commandments, and as we do that, we will be tossed every which way. We won't be in a safe harbor. And that brings us back then to today's gospel passage. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And my brothers and sisters, you will have no anxiety. Be obedient to God. Make Him the priority in your life. And you will find peace and authentic stillness. Christ is among us.